What is it about the Negro, the other group that came as an immigrant, somehow, not easily, but somehow got around it? Is it just the fact that Negroes are black?
White America must see that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. That is one thing that other immigrant groups haven't had to face. The other thing is that the color became a stigma. American society made the Negro's color a stigma. America freed the slaves in 1863 through the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, but gave the slaves no land or nothing in reality, and as a matter of fact, to get started on. At the same time, America was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that there was a willingness to give the white peasants from Europe an economic base.
Okay, so the joke goes like this. Two guys walk into a Starbucks. Yeah, I saw this news. This is not a big deal to me. Just basically the story I'm going to talk about is Starbucks. Two black guys are hanging out at night. They were just minding their own business, not buying anything, just soliciting in the facility, right? And all of a sudden they get asked, hey, black guys, you got to get going. You got to get out of here if you're not going to buy anything. And those guys said, you know, we're just hanging out, man. We're not doing anything wrong. Call the cops. Starbucks employee says, okay, I'll call your bluff. Cops are called, of course. And next thing you know, they're arrested. Duh. I mean, what did you expect at 1:30 in the morning? It's going to happen. You're black, minding your business in a relatively white establishment. Because, let's face it, it's not like black people go. I mean, black folk don't believe in having a Frappuccino with Java chips and white mocha in it, right? Venti. It's not their cup of tea. So, it's like, you know, it's like me going to like a country saloon bar. And I'm the only person of color there. Of course I'm going to run into some bigoted people. Of course I'm going to have someone saying something stupid. And I'm asking for it, right? Now, I'm not excusing Starbucks people and the ignorance that's being exuded there, right? I mean, that's just something that in this day and age, you don't think it's viable to happen, but it still does. So those guys got arrested. Look, they got dismissed. And I hate to sound this way. The way I look at it is, hey, I'm going to get paid $500,000 off a settlement from Starbucks and probably a lifetime of Starbucks drinks, right? An employee is gone. You know, that employee is done. They're definitely going to get the axe for calling in the cops, even though they're following the rules. But the thing about the rules is that you got to have common sense. And if those guys are not causing an issue in the establishment, if they're just two black guys minding their business, then you shouldn't worry about it. Because that's what people do at Starbucks. I mean, we all know people that go to Starbucks just to grab the laptop, just to be around people. People watch, lurk, right? I mean, I know plenty of people that have done that. They just go to Starbucks, hang out, maybe grab a tea, just sit there on their laptop for 4 or 5 hours. I've met dates there. And it's one of those things that you just do, and it's casually. No one gives you a hard time, relatively speaking, unless you're there at 1:30 in the morning. And you're more, that's the thing I always say about black guys. If we're or people of color, if we're in a group, people fear us. It's like when we go to Vegas, and, you know, it's like a group of 10 or 11. For many years, we had 10 or 11. All of us were colored. That's a problem, you know, in a pool setting where everyone else is white. You know, because black people, relatively speaking, don't go to Vegas, don't go to those places because it's so darn expensive. I mean, you're basically spending, you know, 2 G's at least for the whole trip and going to the pool parties, going to the clubs, so on and so forth, and getting table service. You guys got to be someone, right? But, yeah, so going back to the Starbucks thing, man, I just think that overall, that's the reality of our lives, man. You can't, there's pros and cons to everything that's going on in our lives right now. So you have to, are you going to change the perception of people, of their bigotry, of their profiling? No, you're never going to change that. That's always going to be a staple of our culture, whether it's here, whether it's in Asia, whether it's in Canada, so on and so forth. People are not going to be colorblind as much as we would like them to be. That's a reality. You know, bigotry and discrimination is a learned behavior based on experiences that people have had. And if they had one too many experiences, bad experiences, or people close to them with people of color, with, you know, just all these things on top of the representation that we have via media of people of color, not being educated, not being able to articulate themselves. And of course, you know, and then they run into some of them in real life. Of course, they're going to go ahead and connect the two. And, you know, am I ever going to change that personally? No, I don't think I am. I don't think that's ever going to change. But what you can change, in my opinion, is you can conduct yourself in a manner where you're the exception to the rule, where you're the person that they look at and they talk to. And after a few minutes of them giving you an opportunity to talk to you, they'll say, okay, that was a nice guy. That guy speaks well. You know, whatever the stupid comments that come out, but in a positive light. Right. It doesn't mean that they're not ignorant. It doesn't mean that they're not prejudiced, whatever it is. But we all have prejudgment type of thinking. We all do, whether we want to admit it or not. And people have them with race. It's OK. You know, I believe it's more a cultural thing, because I always go back to, if I see a white guy dressing like Eminem, Jordans with the hat on to the side and a gold chain out, I mean, people are not going to appreciate that. Right. I mean, it's the same thing. It's more, don't get me wrong, it's always people that are always going to have a little hesitation with people of color. I know the moment I dress very casual, when I dress in a wife beater and shorts and flip-flops, that's not a very positive image I'm portraying, okay? And I understand that, and I'm ready to deal with the ramifications of that. But if I go to jail for going to Starbucks dressing that way, I'll just tell my employer, hey, I just got arrested and, you know, probably be a year or two, but I'll get a nice settlement check and, you know, go from there. But that's kind of, again, it's not, I'm not saying it's right or it's, and I'm not trying to make light of it. Well, I am actually, but I think we have to comprehend that there's no changing what perception is in our society. Perception is reality. And whether you want, and you have to be cognizant of that. I know myself as a person of color, I'm very aware of where I go and the times and the environments. All these things are popping off in my head. Like, I'm thinking as if I was Jason Bourne. Remember that scene in Jason Bourne, the movie, the first one, when he walks into that cafe and he's with that girl and he's like, you know, I don't know who I am, but I know that guy carries himself well. This guy, you know, he's just basically giving you a description of everyone in the bar, and he knows all the license plates outside. He has all this information, and that's the way that's sad, right, to think that way. But you have to understand that your margin of error when you're a person of color mixing, mingling in an environment that is mostly white or not your type of people, you're going to be viewed a certain way. And you have to understand that every move you make, how you talk, how you dress, how you express yourself. You know, all of a sudden, if you get all emotional, you're the angry black guy. Well, that's how they all are, you know? It's just, you know, it's the chip mold in them. Whatever, you know, whatever things are said. And that's the way you have to conduct yourself in a certain light. And I understand, in the Northeast especially, there is a less understanding of racism as it is in the South. In the South, is something that you deal with all the time. Up there, I would say, honestly, from my experiences growing up, we didn't have that. We didn't have that aspect of, man, you're black, you're not with me. We were all on the same block. So that's all we cared about. We cared about representing our region, our area. And if you were part of that, cool. If you were not, whether you were white, black, Asian, whatever it was, you know, we just said, okay, you're from my hood. But when you get out here in other regions of the world and you get into affluent working class environments, yeah, that's going to be a problem. You know, that's going to be a reality. And if you haven't faced that before, then you're having to educate yourself the hard way, unfortunately. And those guys, and I don't know their background, I don't know the situation, but, you know, when you're talking about the Starbucks experience, man, it's something that you have to be aware of. Everywhere you go, anytime you talk to people, how you dress, you know, how you look. And I know that I've said this before, but I always get flack for the way I speak because I don't have an urban accent to it. I speak fluent, and I've done that because of my experiences growing up. People giving me a hard time about it because I would say something and it would be an accent and they would make a joke about my accent. And that's something that people, grown folks, deal with. And, you know, I talk to people that are Spanish speaking, you know, bilinguals, but they have such a strong accent. They deal with that all the time. And they'll go ahead and label them as not their equal or look down upon them because they can't accentuate a word properly. Even though they're trying to speak the language, even though they're trying to be as American as they can be, you know, other people put them down for their self-confidence, for their self-esteem. But that's not going to change. So all you have to, none of that's going to change. I think progressively things will get better if you have people like myself and many others that come from, you know, their families. Like my daughter will have a better environment that she's going to grow up in. So that generation and above, she's going to be in a better place. That's the assumption anyway. But you're talking about people that are, you know, dealing with these stigmas of their race or how they talk and how they look and how you dress. You just get judged everywhere. And that's just a fact of life, dude. You know, and I always think of it this way. We can't control. We got to just play the hand that we're dealt. Whether you're short, whether you're tall, whether you got blue eyes, whether your skin color, your status, economic status, you know, whatever hand you're dealt with, you have to make the best of it. And you have to understand the pros and cons. You're a woman, you understand there's pros and cons to it. You're a black guy, pros and cons. You're a short guy, there's pros and cons. You just have to accept those realities of what is the advantage of you being the way you are and embrace it. And whatever things that the bad perceptions are, all you can do is minimize the interaction of with people that think that way, or minimize the environments that you're in that would flare up such a conflict. And listen, I mean, I live in this area, which is predominantly white. I would say it's around 80%, 80, 85, I want to say. And I've done that because I've done the statistics here when I did my prior job. And, it, you know, people are from working class, you know, Midwest, Northeast, small town, USA, you know, upstate New York, small little white towns. They come down here to conservative area because they're more comfortable in that environment. And it's nothing wrong with that. You know, people, this is the anti-Miami crowd. This is the anti-big city crowd. Very conservative, laid back, and I love it. And they embrace you as long as you play your role, as long as you don't cause a ruckus and you don't do anything crazy, you're fine. You know, are there people going to be making ignorant comments? Absolutely. Are people going to, you know, have a problem with their status and kind of defend it? You know, it's no different than people that always scream, well, you know, me talking an opinion doesn't give me white privilege. You know, I've seen things like that where people are defending their white privilege. And I say to myself, listen, if that's the worst you can be labeled, okay, by all means, I understand your point. Like, we're all equal. That's where you come from, right? But if you're not sympathetic or empathetic to other people's plight, and you think that your opinion and you're talking from a place that you're being judged from a white privilege perspective, I mean, is that really bad? Is that really bad for people to think that about you? You know, it's like, I don't know. You know, I'm not trying to defend any point of view. There's no right or wrong. But I think, again, it just comes back to embracing the reality of, hey, we're different. Pros and cons. There's a history in this country. Nothing you can do about it. None of us can do anything about it. But just live your life. Be a positive role model. Try to be the exception to the rule when it comes to the stereotypes and prejudgments that are affiliated with your external features. That's what I try to do. It's like I'm the big muscle head, dumb jock. And here I am, you know, fluent in two languages. I have my, you know, bachelor's and master's degree. I speak well. And I try to carry myself in a manner where people can understand that, hey, this guy's different than a typical jock that I run into. You know, I'm very well acclimated with a lot of different things, and I can talk about various things, not just sports. But, you know, I don't get mad when people just want to go down that route, when people want to just keep it a certain lane because that's all they think I know. And that's just the reality of it. You have to accept whatever things people perceive of you. Accept it. Don't get bent out of shape. But at the same time, show them that you're different. Show them that you're more acclimated. Show them that you are more than what they perceive you to be. And in that way, I think there's more power in changing people's perspectives versus trying to force feed an ideology and trying to make people that are bigoted into being colorblind. That's not going to happen. They have to unlearn that behavior themselves through their experiences. And my goal is when they have an experience with me, it's a positive one. And they could take that, they take the notes down in their mental brain, and maybe that could be the catalyst for them thinking otherwise. Thinking of, okay, not all of them are bad, right? But that's something that you can't worry about changing people's perception. All you could do is be the best you, represent yourself, and whatever the exterior of your body is, exude that in a positive, professional manner. And more times than not, people are going to be open and embracing you for a positive person that you are.
It meant that there was a willingness to give the white peasants from Europe an economic base. And yet it refused to give its black peasants from Africa, who came here involuntarily in chains and had worked free for 244 years, any kind of economic base. And so emancipation for the Negro was really freedom to hunger. It was freedom to the winds and rains of heaven. It was freedom without food to eat or land to cultivate, and therefore it was freedom and famine at the same time. And when white Americans tell the Negro to lift himself by his own bootstraps, They don't look over the legacy of slavery and segregation. I believe we ought to do all we can and seek to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps. But it's a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And many Negroes, by the thousands and millions, have been left bootless as a result of all of these years of oppression and as a result of a society that deliberately made his color a stigma and something worthless and degrading.